This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Bringing you real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on this Thursday morning, November 21st. It's nice to have you along. Just going to pick up where we left off in our last segment with our history lesson and music history and things like that, because Roger and Stephen's point notes for us that we were talking about Physical, and in 1981 it was the number one song for 10 weeks. And Roger notes that 1 week after Physical hit number one, Foreigner hit number two with a song where it stayed for 10 weeks without ever hitting number one. Mr. Bach, what was that song?
I've been waiting for a girl like
you. Oh, that's where we bring in Brittany Merlot, the girl we've been waiting for since her own little break post-election.
You know, I was like, oh, okay, so we're going to play that for Brittany. Okay, but then you bobbed, and then you weaved, and brought it right back to DJ Flipmix.
Yes. Oh,
don't accuse me of a weave, you. Ms. Merlot, how are you? Welcome back.
Thank you. I am fantastic. You know, I went on a little break in Florida and came back to this winter storm going on here.
Oh, she's so excited. You can feel it. Yes.
Oh, I am. Oh, my gosh. So I got to drive back in a little bit of it last night into northwest Wisconsin, and now waking up seeing those accumulations and the Fox Valley getting hit. And like you said, DJ Flipmix over here, we're seeing that today. So icy situations, though, I got to be serious about that. There is slippery roads, especially to the Fox Valley, all the way over to kind of Stevens Point area. So be careful out there. Otherwise, this afternoon, we are still looking at another 1 to 3 inches of snowfall along Lake Michigan that will kick on out of here by noon. And it actually kind of looks to flip to some rainfall after that. So a little bit of melting going on, but temperatures overnight start to flirt with that freezing mark again, so any wet areas will refreeze. So just keep in mind that the slippery conditions are still lingering, especially all those bridges, ramps, things like that. But I'm excited. Oh my gosh, there's already 2.4 inches into a Oconto here in Wausau. We've got a half an inch. I'm going to go do a snow angel in a minute. Excited.
That's so great. Rob says, welcome back, Brittany, who does an excellent job with the weather and news. She is simply the best. He writes, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 33. We got a half inch of snow overnight. I had to plow and salt the ramp at the Tigerton Clinic. Roads have been slushy in spots, which checks out. Sounds about right. Did you know that while you were away, he was like giving his own little mini weather reports for
Aww.
Tigerton?
Thank you, Rob. He's got my back. He's filling in for me.
We were doing Absolutely. It last week too. He gave a report every single day.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Okay. We were talking earlier, Brittany, about Thanksgiving dinners and things, and whether turkey is. Some people don't like the turkey. Tony says the only one in my house who likes turkey is my dog, who chases them through the woods. FYI, he writes, wild turkeys can almost fly.
Well, after enough wild turkey, you think you can fly yourself. Hey,
you think you can fly too. See, exactly. You went that way, and I was going to go with the WKRP, as God is my witness. I thought turkeys could fly. He says, back to turkey, my dad deep fries it for hours in the church parking lot, and everyone acknowledges it's delicious. I just don't like it. I would take ham 100 out of 100 times.
Yeah.
And I don't know about hours. Are you deep frying a turkey for hours?
Yeah. Also, my friend refers to ham as meat jello, so ever since then, I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, no. No.
It.
Yeah,
You're welcome.
And then finally, Roger chimes in. Everyone knows most of the flavor in jellied cranberry sauce is in the ridges.
Yes. It's true. Yes.
There's something about the ridges in the can that just make it taste just
right. There's nothing like a food side that can also act as a coaster.
Are you a Thanksgiving dinner maker or a consumer, Brittany?
I am a consumer, and then I clean. That is my chores. So
a consumer
I'm good
and cleaner.
Yep.
Exactly. Yes. Works out great. Brittany, so nice to have you back. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You too. Have a good day, guys.
All right. You as well. If you'd like to join the conversation at any point here, 855-75-CIVIC is the number, 855-752-4842. You can call that number. You can text it as well. You can call or text us through the Civic Media app. If you don't have the Civic Media app, fix that. Get that on your phone where you can listen to all the stations across the network, some high school sports, some Badger sports as well. And if you'd like to give us feedback through your keyboard, if you're more of a keyboard warrior, then hop over to the Up North News Facebook page, the Up North News YouTube page, or the Civic Media Facebook page. Put something in the comment section, and we may put it on screen right there. And put your comment and share it, and maybe comment to it as well. All right, so let's see. We wanted to tackle a few things here. Our friends from Motherhood for Good, normally here on Thursdays, they too are taking a little time off after the election, but I am happy to note that they have a podcast, at least one. I like that the cover page on here says, "The Motherhood for Good, the podcast, first and maybe only episode," is what it says over on YouTube. So I hope they do. I hope they continue that, because we get them for 15 minutes a week. And obviously there's so much more that can be said and that we would love to hear. We'd like to hear more from them about why busy parents should be paying attention to the news, should be paying attention to politics, should be paying attention to the impact that political decisions have on your lives, and then act accordingly. That might mean voting if you never vote before. It might mean advocating, you know, letters to the editor, whatever the case may be. Coming up in just a few minutes here, Jimmy Koska will join us as well to talk about the state high school football tournament that gets underway today. Luke Mathers will join us a little later in the hour as well. In sports at 7:13, Giannis Antetokounmpo had 41 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. The Bucks beat the Bulls last night, 122-106. Brooke Lopez scored 21. Damian Lillard, 20. A.J. Green, 18 points. The Bucks have now won 4 of their last 5 after that dismal 2-8 start. Coming up next for the Bucks will be another home game, but it will be part of that the NBA Emirates Cup thing, and they will be playing at home against the Indiana Pacers. That, again, will be on Friday. The Badger women's volleyball team was in action last night at home at the Fieldhouse. They needed 5 sets but did beat 16th-ranked Minnesota. The Badgers will now head to Lincoln for a rematch with number 2 Nebraska on Saturday night. That's 7 o'clock on Saturday night, and the Badger volleyball match will be broadcast on the Big Ten Network. We have been talking a bit about the ongoing Trump transition and the decisions that have been made about cabinet members and whether we deserve to know more about who those cabinet members are. The most recent controversy, of course, is about Matt Gaetz. And in our last hour, we played some audio from Congressman Derek Van Orden talking about whether the House Ethics Committee should release its report on Matt Gaetz, who has faced allegations for years of having sex with underage girls, of child sex trafficking, of paying off women after having sex with them, all kinds of things that would make you wonder if this is the guy who should be running the United States Department of Justice. But this is the guy that Donald Trump wants, in part because he has promised essentially to get rid of people at the U.S. Department of Justice that Trump perceives as having weaponized the department against the president-elect, otherwise known as, you know, seeking justice for those who might commit wrongdoing. But if you've got, let's listen again to what Derek Van Orden had to say about whether the House Ethics Committee should release that report. He was talking to a CNN reporter, whom you'll hear first.
There might be a vote in the House to release that report. Would you vote to release that report?
I think it's very important that everybody has as much knowledge as possible so that they can make an informed decision.
That sounds like yes.
That's a yes. So if the rumors are true about Mr. Gates' conduct, then there should be referrals to other agencies. And if they're not true, then there's a whole lot of people that owe him an apology.
And I would offer the pretty confident prediction there will not be apologies, because in some way, shape, or form, that report will come out. Well, we already know a lot about what Gates has been accused of. And whether that leads enough Republican senators to say that Trump's nomination for Attorney General should not go through, well, let me put it to you this way. The House Ethics Committee could have released that report yesterday if even one Republican on the committee had voted for it. And the fact that not a single Republican did tells you what you need to know. What are House Republicans working on right now? Well, just listen to Nancy Mace from South Carolina and now the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, in taking all of their time and attention to target somebody who's about to be sworn into Congress, will be the first transgender woman elected to Congress by her constituents. And they're already looking to banish her from using restrooms at the Capitol. That's the diversion that they're looking for. That if we talk more about the outrage of that, if you get more people worked up about transgender members of our community, that will cause you to stop focusing on Matt Gaetz as Attorney General, Dr. Oz heading up the Center for Medicare and Medicaid, Linda McMahon from the wrestling world as Education Secretary, Russian puppet Tulsi Gabbard as head of national intelligence, Robert Kennedy Jr. heading the Department of Health and Human Services, Pete Hegseth, whose tattoos are too similar to white supremacy groups to enable him to have served in a particular detail while he was in the military, Sean Duffy, whose only experience in transportation has been on a show called Road Rules. All of these things are part of essentially a circus that comes to town with everything that Trump touches, and hopes that we will talk only about the circus and not about the policies and the things that will do real harm. The Republicans talk a good game about, for example, protecting young women. But if you're looking to protect young women, you shouldn't be looking at somebody who's serving with honor as a transgender legislator turned congressperson. If you want to protect young women, why don't you finally take a closer look at Matt Gaetz and Donald Trump while you're at it? Jimmy Koska is going to be next. We'll talk about the state high school football tournament along the way, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning. When you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Again, we are noting the anniversary of Steely Dan's landmark album, Gaucho, which came out on this day in 1980. Jimmy Koska joins us now to talk a little sports, and I'd love to say that, high school football playoffs have snuck up on us. Things don't sneak up on us. It's like, oh, Thanksgiving, it's just snuck up on us. No, it's on the calendar. It's always been in the same spot. And here we are at high school playoff season. So much like last year, we are thrilled that Jimmy's been able to come in and join us for a little bit. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm doing great. I can't believe we're at the end of the high school football season already. Feels like we just started fall camp here like yesterday. But here we are. Snow is flying. Wind is blowing. And we are here in the final 2 days of the high school football season.
It's really, and of course, you've got that snowfall out there. It never seems quite right if conditions at Camp Randall or elsewhere are perfect. If you've got that either that nip of fall or just full on, you know, snow showers or something, that seems to make it perfect. Like it or not, this is how the weather works around this state.
Yeah, Camp Randall in a snow globe for state football is the best, man. It is the best to be there for. If you're indoors, not, if you're outdoors, not as fun.
Yeah. I recall when in Minnesota, after the Metrodome was first built, and it was like this big deal that they were moving all the high school football games. It was like a whole day of football games, but it always felt so antiseptic. You know, it just felt so sterile, and it just wasn't the same. Actually, that's what they said about the Vikings as well. It's like, you know, Metropolitan Stadium is like, you want to play outdoors and you want to be tough and rugged and not everything indoors. And it's just one more reason why I loved becoming a Wisconsinite all those decades ago was Lambeau and Camp Randall. And, you know, it gets a little inhospitable out there, but that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, and I think that in Wisconsin, what you find, too, is that the style of play we have, the typical high school team, is really acclimated to that, because you have a lot of really run-dominant teams. You have a lot of star running backs and offensive linemen that the state produces. So I think that feeds into the identity of football at the higher levels as well. If you got a player from Wisconsin, chances are they're going to be a little rugged. They're going to handle the weather pretty well. And chances are, too, you're going to find a pretty good lineman or two or a dozen out of this great state. So.
All right. Well, let's look at the games here. And there are 7 matchups for today, 3 tomorrow. I'll let you take them either in sequential order if you want to, or however you want to take us through what's happening starting at 10 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, so we have 4 games today. And the first game is really interesting. Edgar is taking on another Six Rivers Conference team. They beat Blackhawk Warren last year. They get Potosi Cassville this year. Potosi Cassville has been ranked number 1 in the state the entire year. I had the fortune, might be the wrong word, because we got beat pretty good, but I got to coach against them this year. And that is a pretty loaded team, but Edgar has been there before. They have won state championships in 4 different divisions in their history, 4 through 7. So that first one is going to be a great small school game. Pretty typical of small school football. Grantsburg and Lamira gives you another good small school matchup of teams that, that they don't have the long storied history, right? But they've had their spots. And when you get to Division 6 and you see you had a couple of schools that again, have pretty good defenses, pretty good running games. What would you expect at that level? Stratford and D5 game this afternoon has a chance to become the 3rd team in state history to win a consecutive championship in a division higher than the one they were in the year before. And for the first time, this tournament features teams that are being moved up a division due to the tournament performance multiplier, or the tournament performance factor that moves teams up if you've been to state or sectionals enough times in years past. Stratford was a team that won D6 last year. Now they're in D5. They get Wrightstown.
And that's very interesting that the divisions aren't just by school size, but if you are so dominant in that division, you move up even if you're still qualified for that. That's it'd be like a lightweight boxer who is so dominant that we're moving you up to heavyweight anyway, just because you're so good. I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, so in Wisconsin, this is new. And in football, it's weird because you don't know your division until the bracket is set, because not every team makes it. Every other sport, you know your division going into the season. So we saw it in cross country, for example, where some Division III schools, small schools, got bumped to Division II. So they're competing against schools sometimes 5 times their size.
Wow.
It's different every sport. Football has 7 divisions. So, you know, there's the movement maybe not as drastic as taking a 2 or 3 division sport and moving a team up, but it exists now in every sport for the first time this year.
Okay, so we've got the nightcap, which will be airing on WRJN and WSCM as
yep.
well.
That is Racine St. Catharines and Baldwin Woodville. It's your classic offense versus defense matchup. St. Cats has had a pretty good defense this playoffs, and Baldwin Woodville's been great on offense. So that'll be great to have across 2 stations here on the Civic Media Network.
Yeah, stations in both markets there that you can hear that game again, 7 o'clock tonight. I figure these things slide a little bit based on when some of these games end.
Yeah, football's been really lucky in that they've really held to those start times. Typical high school game lasts a couple of hours. You're going to see a lot of running today, so I don't think anything will get too off kilter. In fact, most of the teams at state, I think there's only 2 teams that really throw the ball out of the 4 teams, so I would think everything stays on time. And that's been one of the nice things about the state championship experience, is that they do keep things moving in state football. Some of the other state sports, as you know, Pat, baseball especially, or softball, mm-hmm. weather can really make problems, and then things get pushed back forever. So.
It really can. Day 2 starts tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Yep, Catholic Memorial takes on Notre Dame in the D3 game. That features a lot of Division I college football talent. So for those of you who are looking at the next level, perhaps that's one of very, very big interest. Rice Lake is the other team in this bracket that gets moved up a division. They were a Division III champion last year. Now they're in Division II. They get Slinger, and that game might be over in about 90 minutes because both of those teams really like to run. And then the final game in the state this year will be Bayport and Muskego. Muskego is a team that's been there and on kind of a big run here at the end of the year. They lost multiple games in the regular season, but put it together on this big run. All three of the games tomorrow feature teams that can really power the football. But I really think that for people who are more interested in what happens at the next level, I think you'll find some great talent in all three of those games.
For folks who might not be familiar with that one game tomorrow where you mentioned Notre Dame, Catholic Memorial, Notre Dame is out of Green Bay. Catholic Memorial is out of Waukesha. And somewhere on my screen, I see somebody has typed in the words, woo, CMH.
Class of 96, baby.
So I guess we have one cheerleader here for Catholic Memorial.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. You'll be signing off the show and immediately finding a TV to take that one in tomorrow. I want you to be. I think of all the games that you have at state, if you're more interested in the college football aspect of things, that's probably the one you're watching out of all seven.
So. Really? Okay, Greg, you got some. Did you play on the team?
No. No, they wanted, and this is not a lie, the WIAA rules back in the day, you had to cut your hair, and I refused to cut my hair in high school, so I wouldn't play football.
Boy, I felt like this segment should be 5 minutes longer just to delve into this. Jimmy, we'll work on that another time. Thank you so much for the update. Enjoy the games.
Thanks, guys. Have a great rest of your day.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll continue more with Up North News Radio after the Midwest Farm Report across many of these Civic Media stations. We'll be back. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Diamonds, daisies, snowflakes, bad girl, chestnuts, rainbows, springtime. Is that girl? She's tinsel on a tree.
Marlo Thomas is 87 years old today. Many years removed from That Girl, the sitcom that made her a household name, daughter of legendary comedian Danny Thomas as well. 7:35 now on Up North News Radio. And again, as mentioned, our friends from Motherhood for Good are on their little post-election break after, you know, a year of bringing us a Women Win Wisconsin segment during this half hour each Thursday. They did do their first episode ever of a podcast that you can find on their YouTube channel. And I think any opportunity for them to share their thoughts on busy parents paying attention to politics and policy is a very good thing. So hopefully they have a great Thanksgiving. And we'll talk to them once the calendar flips over to December. Some entertainment notes are coming up in just a bit, as well as a story about Tom Tiffany and the impact that he's having as a congressman in helping overrule Oneida County's comprehensive plan for protecting land conservation. But before I get to that, I want to call your attention to a story on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. You also find it in today's newsletter, which you can sign up for at our website. The headline is How to Talk to a Conspiracy Theorist in 6 Steps. It notes here that, you know, people don't fall into extremist or violent or racist viewpoints all at once. It's a process. And understanding what's behind the process that leads to those beliefs could be used to start a new conversation with some of those folks and might just lead them back to reality. So take a look at that article again, either in our newsletter or on the website, upnorthnewswi.com. Now, one of the things that really caught my eye, I believe it was day before yesterday here, was an article in the Wisconsin Examiner by Henry Redman, who is just a terrific investigative reporter. And the headline is that a timber industry group and a right-wing nonprofit influence Oneida County's comprehensive plan. It talks about how Congressman Tom Tiffany and a group called the American Stewards of Liberty are influencing the Northwoods. They've been doing work that has led to a committee of the Oneida County Board approving a number of changes to a draft of what would be Oneida County's new comprehensive plan. Now, whenever you hear comprehensive plan, people start to go, you know, they don't want to hear about the inner workings of local government. And yet it's so important. And I'm going to tell this story to get you there. People don't want to hear about comprehensive plans. Like, oh, it's just, you know, more government interference, et cetera, et cetera. And people asked me as a new legislator in 2007, said, you know, hey, there's this strip club that's going to go up in this place here in our community. You know, what can you do about it? And I said to them, quite honestly, nothing. You could have done something about it in your comprehensive plan that made sure that certain businesses, whether they're strip clubs or hog farms or whatever, aren't in certain areas. But a lot of you said that comprehensive plans were just a big government tool and you didn't want to put these things in your plan. And now it's too late. Well, in Oneida County, they have a comprehensive plan, and in it include aspects that enable people who have land up north and want to conserve it for generations to come can find ways to do that so that the land is not necessarily bulldozed, dug up, turned into a golf course or a strip mall or a mine. And again, as I've had to say before, there's nothing wrong with development when it's done with some sense of planning and with some sense of not harming the other land and water around it. But there are others who would like to, pun intended, bulldoze right through those rules and say, you know, it's our land, liberty, freedom, we can do whatever we want with it, whether it's a hog farm, a strip mall, or what have you, or maybe a strip club. So anyway, the changes in the draft for the Oneida County plan have been suggested by a timber industry group that was aided by Congressman Tiffany and American Stewards for Liberty, described in the article here as a right-wing nonprofit that has taken an interest in land use policy. The group American Stewards of Liberty has undertaken an effort to influence local planning decisions up north. This is a group that traditionally, Henry Redman writes, has traditionally focused on ranching issues out west. But after being introduced by Tiffany, they've been working with officials up north to oppose things like the Pelican River Forest Conservation Easement on the grounds that federal and state officials had not properly coordinated with local units of government. I like Tony's putting a comment on YouTube, and I just knew Yellowstone was going to come up. To quote the TV show Yellowstone, people started living on the land, not with it. That's a very good way to put it. Thank you, Tony, for adding that in there. The American Stewards for Liberty, their ideology, Henry Redman writes, in the name of, quote, protecting property rights, calls for expanding the extractive uses of land, including increased logging and the approval of open pit mines in the area. Opponents, of course, say the group twists a desire to protect private property owners into a belief system that will prevent others from acting to conserve the resources on their land. Again, there's nothing wrong with logging and the timber industry. If it's well managed, it is the healthy thing for a forest. It is not freedom to just say that, you know, you can clear cut willy-nilly, consequences be damned. It's why you have a comprehensive plan. It's why you have these rules. But American Stewards for Liberty was also involved in writing the environmental policy sections of Project 2025. So you have an idea of where they stand with a new Trump administration that's coming in. The changes that have been suggested to the plan would move decisions away from support of conservation and toward more extractive uses of the land. For example, when you talk about protecting the land, the previous language had said that Oneida County should, quote, minimize impacts to the county's natural resources from non-metallic mining. Again, the county should minimize impacts to natural resources. The new language says the county should, quote, consider impacts to the county's natural resources from non-metallic mining, so that a pro-mining group could come in and say, well, we did consider it. We're going ahead with the mine anyway, and you may direct any further comments to this brick wall. That's the big difference. And again, where I'm always preaching to folks about caring about what your local government does or what your legislature does. There's so much that can be done with just the change of a couple of words. There's such a difference between may and shall, for example. And somebody's got to be watching these things. And so I'm very appreciative that whether it's Henry Redmond at the Wisconsin Examiner or other reporters who are looking at this. Eric Rampala is a member of a local conservation group, Oneida County Clean Waters Action, who spoke against the recommendations and told the Examiner that it's outrageous to give an industry group this much influence over county land use policies, and that everyone should be more honest about the involvement of American Stewards for Liberty. As Eric put it, you guys need to admit who you're working with and what you're trying to accomplish. And that's the reason that this is being brought up in this time, this place, this forum on stations all across Wisconsin, wherever you are in the state. You don't have to live or even visit Oneida County to understand that something like this can have impact anywhere. Whether you're listening, you know, in rush hour traffic in Milwaukee right now, or in what counts for rush hour traffic in Amory. All around us, there are people who can make decisions about whether that mine gets put in, or that hog farm, that CAFO, that strip club, or that strip mall. All of these implications are there, and it's why these local elections for county board and school board, state legislature, are so important. In the state legislature, Tom Tiffany led the way in scrapping a rule about mining in Wisconsin that said to potential mining companies, you can come in to Wisconsin and open a mine if you have operated a mine someplace else and it has opened and closed, and for 10 years afterwards, there's been no water pollution. If your operation is so good that we don't have to worry about you polluting the water, then yes, you can come in. That is not a ban on mining. That is a ban on dirty mining. That is a ban on people coming in and saying, we don't give a rat's butt what happens after we're gone. We're just here to extract value. It's not a ban. It's a safeguard. And Tom Tiffany led the way to get rid of that safeguard. And now he's leading the way as a member of Congress to invite industry groups to come right into one of his home counties and rewrite the comprehensive plan so that it becomes easier to have those mines and other things that could potentially harm the air, the land, the resources, the recreation, the resale value of your land. All of these things that they say are in the name of growing the economy. But if you spoil what's there, what are you going to do to the rest of the economy that has to pay the price? So again, you can read more about that from Henry Redmond in the Wisconsin Examiner. Head to wisconsinexaminer.com to learn more. All right, I did not watch the CMAs yesterday. I saw that they were on. I thought I'd pass along the note that Chris Stapleton, who has worked way too hard in his life to look like Greg Bach, took home 4 Country Music Association awards. Hardly left the stage last night. Meanwhile, Morgan Wallen was shut out all evening until taking the night's biggest prize for Entertainer of the Year. What I'm not clear on, Greg, is when did Post Malone become a big-time country star? Because he's been working with Morgan Wallen and with Chris Stapleton on one of the opening numbers. I clearly need to be paying more attention to when, you know, like Beyonce is crossing genres to do a country album, and you can't blink because you don't know who's going to be on what chart.
That's the beauty of music, especially like, you know, Post Malone released an album called F1 Trillion. It was stacked with all of the big stars, and honestly, he stacked it with some of the studio session legends. Brent Mason, who's one of my favorite guitarists alive, is on that record. And yeah, I mean, he saw what Beyonce did, and he's like, I want to get a piece of that as well. And he loves country music, and I've heard some songs. They're good. I enjoyed it. I don't, the Chris Stapleton comment though, he works too hard to look like me. I don't know what that means. Are you making fun of him or me?
I'm saying you're both very handsome men who look like you could be related.
Stop it. I didn't. There okay. I love Tony Chris Stapleton. Writing, love Chris Stapleton.
And Tony writes from Ashland. Chris Stapleton is a treasure.
See?
And yes.
Tony, bring your ham. I'll bring my turkey. We'll talk about Chris Stapleton.
Brooks and Dunn was also there. They won Vocal Duo of the Year.
Dang.
For the first time since 2006, it's the 15th time that they've won that. That's pretty amazing. And then George Strait, who's now 72 years old, got essentially their Lifetime Achievement Award. There were, again, tributes played by many singers who did some of his songs. And then he got up on stage and said, well, I'm glad I got him first. Because, again, there's just so many. You know, as Tony's mentioning, they got back together. I think are we confusing Brooks and Dunn for Hall & Oates? Because I don't think Hall & Oates are getting back together.
No, Brooks and Dunn. Brooks and Dunn, yeah, they got back together. And there was a time in country music where it was basically like, and Vocal Duo Award winner nominees are Brooks and Dunn and everyone else.
Well, it was Alabama, you know, before that for Group of the Year. Yeah. It's like, why even watch?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So this time around, I did see the very beginning, and I think it was Chris Stapleton who mentioned that there were something like 30 or 40 different artists up for nominations for the first time.
Yeah.
And that's a very good thing. So that you don't have just one or two groups
getting
the same awards over and over again. So, again, I'm sure a very good show, and congratulations to all the award winners there. When we come back, we'll talk to Luke Mathers a bit about what else you can find across the Civic Media Radio Network in the coming days, especially as we head into the Thanksgiving holiday. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
There you see him now running up the steps of the state capitol and then all the way back to Sun Prairie like he's training for a prize fight. Luke Mathers, ladies and gentlemen, on the anniversary of the premiere of the first Rocky movie. Mr. Mathers, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mr. Kreitlow. And Mr. Bach, how are you gentlemen doing?
We're good. We're good. Did I hear you correctly? Did you say that if you had one handy, you would have an I voted sticker on?
Yes. I was looking for. I was getting ready. I've been listening all morning long. Tony, you're wrong about turkey. Jeez, come on. Way too much. Way too many references to strip clubs as well. Was not anticipating that on my Thursday morning.
I wasn't as a new legislator either. And it's like, this is my first problem. Okay.
I got brought up several different times this morning, and I was shocked. But you know, I was looking for the I voted sticker, and I just could not find one before jumping on with you here on Up North News Radio.
Tell us about your vote.
I went to the website that volume1.org. I typed in one first and I got an error message and I was like, I think I got to spell it out then. They didn't tell you it's O-N-E for one.
Like the volume1.org. As in the O-Needers. That's a movie reference. You're welcome, everybody.
And you can head over and you can vote for your favorite morning show, your favorite radio show, I believe was the category. But you could also vote for your favorite radio station. We got some friends.
You got the Tap on there. You got WCFW on there. So
yep. So we wanted several different Civic Media options there. Mike McKay is there. Oh, and literally my phone got that command and started playing it. So,
oh, that's funny.
There you go.
That is the
it
problem.
Works. Vogue smart speakers. They're always listening. You can just ask them, and they'll start.
They're always listening.
They are. But you can vote for several different Civic Media products there in the Chippewa Valley as well. But highly recommend. My first vote was for Up North News Radio.
Oh, bless your heart. That's great. Here's the thing. The Best of the Chippewa Valley Awards from Volume 1 was started like the year after I left TV. And so I was never, you know, in that whole voting thing. And it was only afterwards that I'm looking at some of my old colleagues getting, you know, favorite anchor, favorite meteorologist, favorite sportscaster. And I felt so left out for all these years. And now, 17 years later, after the awards are started, I have a chance.
There we go.
I have a chance to come in first and or last. Yes. To be first or last, potentially, in one of these things. One never knows.
It's an honor to be nominated.
It's
right?
an honor to be put in a list that they have to list because it's every show in town. Yes.
Jeez, stop being so Midwestern.
Ope. See, that's Tony again saying on YouTube, or it's rigged against Pat.
And Greg.
Yes, of course. That's exactly what I meant to say. Conan O'Brien fan? Yes or no, guys?
Yeah.
See, he's been picked to host the Oscars for the first time.
Yeah, I think I don't have like a dedicated following to him, but I think most of the stuff of his that I see, I find funny. So.
I find him to be probably the funniest mind of the last generation, and I want to see those ratings for the Oscars.
Do you think that he will, is it too obvious to keep playing off the Chris Rock routine? Is he going to go for getting somebody to come up and slap him at some point?
I think he might make a reference, but he's really good friends with him, and I don't think he wants to bring that up. Like, and I'm sure the Academy's probably like, yeah, you know what, not our shining moment, so...
That's true. Yes.
I'm sure all the pre-production aspect of that is, please don't mention that. Please don't mention that.
Yeah. Conan did host the Emmys in 2002 and 2006. This will be his first time hosting the Oscars, which will air on ABC on March 2nd. So that was some of the new news that came out.
I can't believe it's award season already, folks.
Like we said with Jimmy in the last half hour, I can't believe it's football playoffs already. I mean,
let me enjoy my turkey and my cranberry sauce before I have to start hearing about the award ceremonies that are going to take place in February.
And yet, what message went out to all the civic media folks yesterday?
I know, I had to get one.
The WBA awards are coming up.
And so, but to be fair, I've been kind of a stickler with that one throughout the year, so most shows across the network should have, like, at least in the back of their mind, been hearing about those year round, which is less of a lift, I think. Then
I realized last year in trying to come up with, geez, what did I talk about? Who was interesting or whatever? So I actually did start a document, you know, tracking what we talked about each day. And I'm just going to the window right now. It's 73 pages.
There we go.
Which is not going to be fun, but it's more help than I had a year ago when I was trying to figure out, you know, what
it's going to be really helpful, because it's going to be Greg told a great joke, and it's going to be that day, and then we just know it was a good episode. So you've got all the notes you've got needed right there.
Oh, yes, exactly. Melissa Schrader writes on Facebook, "Hey, Pat, you have my vote." There you go. Look at that. I'm up to like 3 votes
at this
point.
I have your vote, too. I'm part of this as well. Thank you very much.
Greg, and Greg, too.
Thanks a lot, Pat. That was
got to get like a little like musical ditty that we could put at the end of the intro, so that when Don Rue's done, it's like, and Greg Bach, and just like tack that on for the voting period.
We'll fix it in post. It's okay.
And
oh,
me.
Wait, this is live. Yeah. And me. I've given you all of 30 seconds to tell us anything new and interesting that we can find across the Civic Media universe.
Deer Camp kicks off this weekend. You're going to want to tune in, head over to the Civic Media website. You're going to see so much about what's going on for the Deer Camp Roundup that our friends in Park Falls are putting on both this weekend, all throughout next week, and the following weekend. So head over. There's going to be a lot of it online, over the airwaves, a huge presence for opening weekend kicking off this weekend.
It sounded like a lot of fun hearing it described in the station meeting. So I'm going to make sure to try to tune in as well. And everybody should go to civicmedia.us to learn more. Luke Mathers, thank you so much. Thank you for your support.
Always great to meet somebody I got to vote for.
For us and me. Greg Bach will be back at 10 a.m. for Matinaire on Air, and we will be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. here on Up North News Radio, brought to you by Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network building a...
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.